Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and earlier this month, a huge avalanche crashed down on Mount Everest and killed 16 Sherpa guides, effectively ending the short climbing season before it began, since the local guides have been refusing to work ever since. As my next guests will explain, the accident was a turning point for both Sherpas who work on Everest, one of the most dangerous job sites in the world, and the Western climbers who pay around $60,000 each for a chance to summit the mountain. Here with me now are Nick Heil, the editorial director of Outside Online and the author of a book on the dangers of Everest, and Grayson Schaefer, a senior editor at Outside Magazine. He's joining us from Nepal. Nick and Grayson, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having us.
So, Nick, 16 local guides were killed in the avalanche, which was the most deadly day ever on Everest. But no Westerners died. Was this because of the timing? The guides were out fixing the ropes that climbers use, or why? Or let's see, do we have Nick?
I can hear Brian, but I can't hear Nick.
Okay, so who wants to take this question? Grayson,
guys,
can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I think we've got both of you now. Nick, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Grayson, you there?
Yep, I'm here. No problem.
Okay. So,
Sorry, guys. Brian, I heard your question.
Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, the way it works is that the Sherpas work out ahead of the Western climbers, and they do a lot of sort of prep work. They put the route in. They fix the ropes. They stock the camps. They set up the camps. And they ferry equipment back and forth. So they spend a few weeks out on the route before the paying clients are on there acclimatizing and then making their summit attempt. And that's why they're out there in the danger zone.
And after the tragic avalanche, Sherpas and other Nepalese guides have lobbied the government for pay increases and to regulate safety standards and to bring more changes to their working conditions. So, Grayson, what's the latest on this?
Well, the latest is that told the Western climbers that they're welcome to continue on up the mountain, but they're going to have to do it on their own. So, the entire Sherpa workforce has gone home. Base camp at this point is kind of a ghost town. There were rumors that, a Russian or a Slovenian team was maybe going to stay and try to, press on their own. But at this point, it looks like probably nobody will be climbing the mountain from the south side this year.
So, Grayson, is this a strike per se?
I think it'd be too strong to call it a strike. I mean, when 16 of your friends and family die on the mountain, I think there's a pretty strong urge to just want to go home. And, I think in some cases there were certain teams and certain expedition leaders who said that they, had a Sherpa workforce that was willing to work. And, from what I've heard talking to people here, lower down in the valley, that may have been true, but that, some of the other Sherpas definitely put some pressure on them not to climb because, if certain teams were having, their workforce continue to go on, it may have set a bad precedent for the rest of them, possibly putting in next year's employment in jeopardy. I think calling it a strike is probably a little bit too strong, but yeah, definitely they all wanted to go home.
Nick, Western guide companies near the base charge tens of thousands of dollars per climber. Do you know the average pay for Sherpas in the two-month climbing season?
I've heard a range of numbers tossed around. It probably falls somewhere between $3,000 and $6,000 for a climbing season. And that relative to the per capita income in Nepal, that's a princely sum. It's enough to support a Sherpa family for a year. There is some incentive to do this kind of work despite the risks.
So you'd say on the one hand, there's something discomforting about well-heeled Westerners paying tens of thousands of dollars to climb the mountain while the local guides get only a tiny cut of that, and the Westerners get all the glory when they summit the mountain, even though the local guides do all this hard work, fixing the ropes and everything and lugging tents and other equipment up the mountains, putting their lives in danger. But on the other hand, the climbing industry is the most profitable line of work in the area, and that $3,000 or $6,000 is enough to support a Sherpa family for a year. So So what kind of ethical conclusion do either of you come to about the basic arrangement here? Grayson, how about you?
Well, I think that you know the real issue is not that it's, you know, it's a dangerous job for a lot of money. It's that the other, you know, when you look at sort of free choice, the other options that a lot of these guys have to pick from are really not that good. And so when you compare, you know, making a few dollars a day farming or, you know, portering or, you know, doing any of the other jobs in Nepal, which is a country that, you know, whose median income is still around $600 a year. And then you look at the, you know, and you, then you look at this one sort of skyscraper on the graph, the climbing, and it means that a lot of guys who probably don't want to climb and whose families really don't want to, want them to climb end up, you know, going because it's, you know, such an outrageous amount of money compared to their other options. So I think that's the sort of the real conundrum is that it's, you know, it's both an extremely dangerous job and also one that is pretty hard to turn down.
Listeners, anyone who's ever climbed Mount Everest with a Sherpa guide or anyone else, 212-433-WNYC. Any Sherpas listening? I know we have a Sherpa community in New York, 212-433-9692. If you want to talk to our two guests from Outside Magazine, which has been all over this story, Grayson Schaefer and Nick Heil, 212-433-9692. If you want to chime in. Grayson, in your piece about the dangers of the work from last year, you wrote about one woman whose guide died on the mountain, and she found herself supporting his family. And she said, quote, "It's the guilt of hiring someone to work for me who really had no choice. My passion created an industry that fosters people dying. It supports humans as disposable, as usable, and that is the hardest thing to come to terms with," unquote. Do you think that's a common sentiment that Westerners who go for that, you know, the thrill of that hike come home with?
Well, I mean, it's one that, you know, you have to hope that at least crosses their mind. I mean, I think it's one that, you know, any climber who has a sense of ethics and justice needs to wrestle with, because in a lot of cases, the chance of having somebody who's working for you dying on the mountain is not just theoretical. You know, I think it's something that, you know, if you're going to go and climb Mount Everest, it's something that you need to think about in advance. What are you going to do? What is your responsibility to the people who work for you? And I think that that's something that troubles a lot of people who climb Mount Everest. And certainly this year, a lot of people who until now have been able to sort of skate by saying that they have a really great safety record, that they've never lost anybody, I think are sort of having to recalculate that. So
Susanna, you know, in Westfield, you're on WNYC. Hello, Susanna.
I have not climbed Mount Everest itself, but I have trekked in the Himalayas and specifically up the Khumbu Valley to the base of Mount Everest. And we use Sherpas. I was with a tour group from Canada. And I was actually pretty appalled at the conditions that some of the Sherpas were in. They, you know, some of them didn't have proper hiking boots. And one old man was wearing sandals, and it's really cold up there. He was wearing tattered sandals. His feet were calloused and dry. And one night during our trip, he actually had some sort of stroke. And believe it or not, the next morning, one arm was paralyzed, and he was carrying the load on his back with his other arm, and he continued up the trip. And it was just heartbreaking because it seemed to me that someone should be making sure that these men who have a really brutal job have proper clothing, proper shoe wear. I mean, here we are with our North Face jackets and our Gore-Tex jackets and our, you know, fancy hiking boots and Thorlow socks, and these poor guys are practically climbing in rags under really tough conditions.
Susanna, thank you for sharing your experience. That's pretty heavy. Johnny in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian, I always listen to your program. Quick question. You mentioned that $60,000 per climber is charged, and the Sherpas get $6,000. And I'm wondering where the other $54,000 go.
Do you know, Nick? Is there a clear answer to that question?
Yeah, well, the climbing permit fees are not cheap. A lot of the money, you know, Nepal makes about $3.5 million a year, based on, you know, just the income from the permit fees. There's a fair bit of overhead. You know, they're paying for the outfitters are paying for equipment, they're paying their guides. But, you know, there's a fair bit of money that changes hands. You know, I don't know that anybody's necessarily getting filthy rich over this. You know, the government's making some good change, and the outfitters are definitely making a profit on it, too.
And here is Ong Sherpa calling from Astoria. Ong, thank you for calling in. You're on WNYC.
You're welcome, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you a Sherpa? Are you from that part of the world?
Yeah, I'm Sherpa from every season.
And you live in Astoria now?
Yeah, I live in Astoria. I know, yeah.
So what do you think?
Yeah, I'm just want to say something about the compensation for those lost lives. And right now, all the Sherpas think that the compensation and the insurance, I mean, for those deceased is far less than, I mean, that's the reason. Because Sherpa, they want to climb, and they want to quit climbing mountain. But there needs to be about the compensation, you know, it is far too less. I mean,
are you talking about the insurance payments, the death benefits?
Yes, death benefits, yes. And yeah.
How low are they? Do you know the number, Ong?
Yeah, it's around 11,000, which is equivalent to their two climbing seasons money. I mean, a Sherpa makes about 10,000 in two seasons, and if they lost their life, they get $10,000, which is I mean, you know, two seasons. Earning doesn't compare to their whole life value. So,
Grayson, if that's the right figure, Grayson, that is shockingly low.
Yeah, that's the reason why all those this thing came up, and all those Sherpa they want to resolve this situation before next season.
Ong, I understand you told our screener that you know some of the 16 Sherpas who were killed.
No, families of those killed.
You know,
and we had a memorial service this Sunday at our Sherpa Association. We did a memorial for those family, and I know there were representatives from NPR were there too.
Do you think that the industry should even be allowed to exist, or it's so dangerous it should be regulated out of existence?
No, it should not be that way. The mountain is there, and you know we need to do in a sustainable way. And I think the Sherpa community and the economic of Nepal is dependent on the mountaineering. And I don't think it should be completely closed, but there should be some regulation, and you know, with a sustainable way, even with the environmental thing, and for the local people, you know,
yes.
they don't want to close the mountain, you know. It's right there, and you know, yes.
And keep it going, but with protections and reasonable compensation. Ong, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. And Grayson, you were going to confirm that number. That death benefit is like $11,000. That's all.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. You know, when I began my report 2012 on the subject, it was actually $4,500, and then as I finished my reporting, the government doubled that to about $11,000, and that's where it is now. And you know, I think that what Ong's sentiment there is, you know, reflects what most people in the valley here believe, which is that absolutely the climbing industry is a necessary part of the Khumbu economy, and nobody wants to shut it down. But I think everyone here, and I think a lot of the outfitters, and you know, Western climbers included, are interested in building a more robust safety net, you know, with bigger insurance payments, you know, better disability, you know, that first caller who was talking about having a porter who had, I mean, those types of altitude-related illnesses are all too common here. And so, you know, we hear a lot about, you know, when you have 16 people die, we hear a lot about it. But, you know, all the time, both, you know, lower down in the valley and on the mountain, you have people having stroke or edema and, you know, becoming seriously disabled. And, you know, the press doesn't really have a lot to say about that.
We just have 30 seconds left, but I see we have another Nepalese caller, Ong in Woodside. Ong, 30 seconds. What do you want to say?
What I want to say is, like, you know, the Western climbers, you know, it's their moral responsibility to make sure those climbers are, Sherpa climbers are paid well. And then there are so many middlemen involved, right from the time the trips get booked in Western countries to the time the money reaches the climbing Sherpa. the climbers from the Western countries has to think is to make sure like those people are getting the right amount of money and not the middlemen are making too much money in the middle. So
I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. That is the last word. Finally, one of the most dangerous jobs and obviously underprotected in the world getting this attention. And we thank Nick Heil and Grayson Schaefer from Outside Magazine who've been covering it for a while. Thank you both. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having us.